This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Are you feeling torn? Part of us wants normal life to continue, yet inside we know it's tearing Earth's life apart. Our whole system seems to be built on dwindling fossil energy, pollution, economic bubbles, maybe fraud. Now, what are we going to do? Well, looking for answers, we find Carolyn Baker. She's been a psychotherapist and adjunct professor of psychology and history. Carolyn has been searching ahead since at least the 1990s. Her latest book is Sacred Demise, Walking the Spiritual Path of Industrial Civilization's Collapse. From Boulder, Colorado, Carolyn, it's a treat to have you on Radio EcoShock.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
What moved you from academia to the study of social breakdown and rejuvenation?
Well, it was a real easy transition because during my time as an adjunct professor of history, I increasingly began to look at where Western civilization was going, is going. And it was very clear to me that we were confronting a triple crisis, a convergence of crises between energy depletion, environmental devastation, and economic meltdown, and other issues in there as well that are related to all three. So it was quite a natural transition because the one fed into the other.
And I was struck by an article you posted in April of last year titled, Economic Recovery, No Thank You. Why would you say that?
Well, because our economic model in Western civilization is based on unlimited growth. And that is, by definition, unsustainable. So what we've come up against in this unlimited growth model is a brick wall, which is because of economic, meltdown, energy depletion, and environmental devastation, not allowing us to continue with unlimited growth. Unlimited growth is part of what has been destroying us and the Earth community. So I don't want to go back to that model. I want to be part of finding a new model that is based on sustainability and based on connection with the Earth community.
I have to agree with you with regrets. On our program, we recently had Tim Garrett, the scientist from the University of Utah, and he was explaining we either collapse the fossil economy or we face deadly climate change. But that could be more long-term, and I wonder, do you think peak oil could bring us down first?
Well, actually, what I think is bringing us down first is the economic crisis, which is worldwide. We're looking now at, the dissolution of the dollar. We're looking at ghastly amounts of debt and nations defaulting on their debts. I don't know where this is all going to go, but I know it's not going anywhere good. And many people in the peak oil movement thought that, peak oil would be the first aspect of this collapse. And it turns out that the economic issues came first, although they are very connected with peak oil. It's really hard to say, which one is going to come first or how that's going to play out, because they're all so connected.
Well, certainly the idea of $147 a barrel oil, just the idea of it, shocked a lot of Americans and people around the world into realizing that this isn't an infinite resource. So we may be entering an age of disappointment. The dream is falling apart. Previous expectations won't be met. How can people cope or even turn this to their advantage?
Well, that's the topic and the focus of my book and of the upcoming course that I'm going to be teaching for post-peak living, which the name of the course is entitled Navigating the Coming Chaos. And, the point of writing my book and teaching this course is to assist people in looking deeper than this economic model of unlimited growth and the American dream and owning the house and, the three SUVs and all of these things that industrial civilization has told us we have to have in order to be meaningful human beings, to be, to take our place on the planet, to have a good life. And so, it is through the collapse, I believe, that we're then forced back in within ourselves and to our community, our small communities, our local place, to reconnect with very different values.
You know, it's strange. When you talk like that, something that just came to my mind as I'm looking around my studio area here, almost all of our furniture is used furniture. And it's not necessarily because we're super poor people, but it just seems like it's foolish to go out and ask somebody to cut down even more rainforest to make us some furniture. So do you think that this change of people's expectations will help?
Absolutely. Because we're going to be forced to learn skills that are foreign to us at the present time, although some people are starting to learn some of those skills, you know, and live more in a manner that our grandparents and great-grandparents and other ancestors lived, using things fully before throwing them away, and considering very carefully what we do want to purchase and how we're going to use it and why we're going to use it. So, you know, I think that's just one of the possible upsides of this collapse process.
And you've been one of the leading advocates of local action and transition towns. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, I'm working very closely with Transition Colorado here in Boulder, contributing to their new online newspaper called Transition Times, which is a right now, the Colorado edition, but it covers all aspects of transition worldwide, and anyone can read it on the internet. And one of the focuses here in Boulder is the Eat Local Resource Campaign, which is inviting people to make a 10% shift in eating locally, purchasing locally in terms of food. We have a very strong consciousness here in Boulder County of the importance of local food. And I go on the internet every day for my daily news digest to gather and bundle news stories. And, you know, everywhere I go, I'm seeing stories about food crisis. In fact, there was a story today on Common Dreams. I think it was called, Another Summer, Another Food Crisis. Food, I believe, is going to be the new oil. It's going to be the new gold of the next generation.
How would people tune into your daily news items?
Simply by going to my website, www.carolynbaker.net. And over on the left-hand corner is a big green button that says click. It's for subscribing to the Daily News Digest. The Daily News Digest is published 7 days a week throughout the year unless I'm traveling or just absolutely unavailable, which is rare. And what I do is I carefully gather and bundle the news that is related to collapse issues, as well as stories that present options for navigating those changes. And it's based on a subscription model, based on a sliding scale. Many, many people say that they can't live without it. They're addicted to it. They get up every morning and eat their breakfast with a Daily News Digest. And it's kind of created for many people a sense of online community. I'm not alone, you know, and it's very validating to see these stories every day along with the options.
Friends, we're talking with Carolyn Baker. I am intrigued by this new course you talk about because it's something they don't teach in the Harvard Business School, that's for sure. So,
Right. And
you're going to do it online so people don't have to drive somewhere and create greenhouse gases and waste all that
right. Money.
How is that online teaching going to work?
Well, the way it's going to work is we're going to start on Saturday, April 24th. It's a course that is a duration of 3 hours. I believe it starts at 10 a.m. Pacific time and runs until 1 o'clock with a couple of five-minute breaks. And there's lots of time for discussion and interaction by phone. It's not going to be online chat. It's going to be live conversation by telephone. People can talk with me and with each other, and then I will be available for one-on-one consultation between sessions if people are interested. But that is April 24th, May 1st, May 8th, and May 15th. And to find out more and or to register, people should go to www.postpeakliving.com, and there is a considerable discount in registration fee if one registers by April 10th.
I want to move on to another problem here. How do we get beyond ideas and get past the endless online attractions to do something real in our community?
Well, a lot of people have discovered that that is much more rewarding. Many people who are involved in transition and other organizations are realizing that this whole model of bigger is better and everything must be global, everything must be national, is also unsustainable, in that what is happening as these systems deteriorate is that we're realizing things have to become local and changes have to be made on the local level. That is not to say we should ignore the issues that are affecting people on the other side of the world, because in fact we are all connected. But the real solutions or the real options are going to have to be in our local place.
Well, yes, and I think the emphasis has to be on the word community, because as we learned in that book, Bowling Alone, that we've become so individuated and we don't have that much face time with others. And for many people, the religious groups have fallen apart. So it's going to be a real challenge to build up new lines of community.
Well, it is. And I think that as things get more dire, we will be forced to plug into our community, create community with each other. You know, I hear a lot of stories of people who have had experiences with living in eco villages or trying to create intentional communities, and you know, there's been so much conflict, and they've sort of walked away saying, "Oh man, community doesn't work. Don't even tell me about it." And I think that perhaps one of the reasons for that is that right now, creating that kind of close community is sort of a luxury. But as these systems fall apart and we are forced back on, you know, interdepending on each other, some of those nitpicky things that keep us from really coming together will pale by comparison with the need that we have to be interdependent.
You know, we just had an odd experience here in Vancouver. The Olympics were here, and hundreds of thousands of people came out into the streets and sort of ran into each other almost for the first time. There were no protests. It wasn't a police action. In fact, people were giving the police big hugs. So I think that there was an idea there that we can get away from our TVs and meet each other again.
Absolutely. And that will become even more real as we don't have television because we may not have the energy resources to keep them happening, or we may not have the money to pay for cable or whatever. I see the television as something that's a luxury that we can have right now, but we're not going to have it forever. And then what will we do? You know, we can only read so many books. But the point is, we need each other. Nobody in this collapse is going to survive on his or her own. Isolation and rugged individualism is a recipe for death. So we're only going to be able to survive if we become interdependent.
That's something I really like about your work, because your vision seems a lot bigger than digging a concrete hole and filling it full of food, guns, and gold.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
What is real survival about?
Real survival is about not only the technological or the logistic preparation, and this is what I really, really emphasize in my book and in this course. We have got to prepare on other levels besides storing the food, storing the water, relearning the skills, all of which are extremely important. But we've got to prepare emotionally and spiritually. And as you begin to envision or imagine a world in collapse where we don't have these resources, we don't have money as we know it, we don't have energy, we don't have all of these things, it's going to be a chaotic world. It's going to be a scary world for many people. And so how are we going to navigate that emotionally with all of the feelings of loss coming up, or the feelings of fear, or the feelings of grief? You know, how do we prepare for those feelings? Because we will feel them.
You do talk about dark emotions. What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't consider any emotion particularly dark, but, you know, we've come to think of emotions like grief and fear and despair and, of course, anger as dark. And there's a wonderful book written by a psychologist named Miriam Greenspan entitled Healing Through the Dark Emotions. And I'm going to be using some of her material in my Sacred Demise Level 2 workshop. I'm in the process of creating levels 1, 2, and 3. These are workshops that I do in different places, not the same as the course that I'm going to be teaching, where we can really face those emotions instead of running from them as most people are doing now, and in that way become more prepared for when those feelings are perhaps more frequent in our world.
I wonder, a lot of this transition planning and action depends on timing. There could be grave penalties for people who don't prepare, but there can be downsides to moving too soon as well. I mean, what if the fossil empire just keeps adding patches and faking it and limps along for the rest of our lifetimes?
You know, that brings up a good point, which is that I think that collapse is going to be both slow and fast. Some people say, well, how long is this going to, you know, is this going to happen quickly or slowly? And I say, yes, it's going to happen in both ways, because I think that it really will be, as James Howard Kunstler says, a long emergency. Loss here and loss there and collapse here and collapse there. But I think there will also be tipping points and serious, immediate kinds of crises like Katrina, like the Chilean earthquake that we just recently witnessed in Haiti, that will move the collapse process along faster. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of limping along for a while, and that's really concerning, because the longer the empire limps along, the more devastation to the environment, and I think to our human souls.
As we wrap up, Carolyn Baker, we have barely scratched the surface of your work and thought. Could you tell us just a couple of the other questions that you might be wrestling with these days?
Well, I think that many people who in the United States were very hopeful about a new candidate of a different party, the first black man in the White House, and all of the hope and change that were promised in the campaign for president, many progressives and people who are concerned about the environment were certainly hoping that this would make a huge difference. And now most of those folks are confronting, well, a real disappointment, because I call it Bush 3. I call it the hopium has worn off. And so a lot of folks are saying, so what do we do now? And I wrote an article a couple of months ago, which you can find on my website, called Your Disappointment in Obama is Your Teaching Moment. So it's now an opportunity to come back and look at what is hope. Well, hope is something that I generate within myself. It's not something that somebody else can give to me. And all of these problems that we're confronting are not about some government, some candidate, some president making it better. It's about us tapping into our inner resources and to coming together with our community to solve these issues or address these issues and respond to them on a local level.
And this is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. We've been talking with one of the thought leaders of the coming decade, Carolyn Baker. You will probably want her book, Sacred Demise, Walking the Spiritual Path of Industrial Civilization's Collapse. Check out her website at carolynbaker.net and look into her online course about preparing for these transition times. Thank you, Carolyn, and I hope you'll join us again.
I certainly will. Thank you for having me.
Jaa to se nahi.